You're listening to Grad Malaysia's TMI podcast.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Grad Malaysia's TMI podcast. I'm your host, Vimala, and today I have a special guest who will be co-hosting with me. Hi, Anis.
Hi, Vimala. Thanks for having me today.
I'm glad to have you on board. So Anis is our lead designer at GTI Media, and she identifies as an introvert. So Anis, was there a specific time in your life when you realized you identify as an introvert?
I remember during my school days, my parents always tell me that I'm very quiet and reserved, but I was never identified as introvert until I reached my uni days, because I realized it during my uni days when I'm in a group. My friends were very, very talkative, and I realized that I cannot blend in with them. I find myself very weird and excluded, but I'm there. Mm-hmm. And then they mentioned that actually you are an introvert. Mm-hmm. So I understand introvert term during my uni days. Mm-hmm. So that's how I realized I identified as an introvert.
Right. Actually, I was doing my research for this episode, and I realized that there are many different classifications based on the hundreds of different personality types. But one that I found was focused on introverts was actually by a group of psychologists. In 2011, psychologists Jennifer Grimes, Jonathan Cheek, and Julie Norum broke down the introverted personalities into four distinct types. Mm-hmm. So the first one was social introvert. They are most happy in either complete solitude or in small groups, in subdued places. A social introvert will happily go on a solo date or vacation. So even though I personally identify as an ambivert, I feel like the introverted side of me is closely related to this one, because it does take time for me to open up to new people. But once I get to know them, I can be very close to a small group of people. And I really love solo holidays. Mm-hmm. I love traveling on my own and just, you know, enjoying some me time. And yeah, I think we also have some co-workers of ours who fall into this category too. So the second one is thinking introverts. They are most at peace when they are studying, reading, learning, researching, or investigating. Basically doing things to expand their knowledge. A restrained introvert moves at a slower pace. They crave structure, and they also have their guard up around others until they get to know them. So this is also quite similar to the first one, I feel, because they need time to open up to new people.
Yes.
And finally, anxious introverts are often quite shy and nervous. And when they meet new people, they can sometimes appear highly avoidant or even rude, because social interactions make them so uncomfortable. They want to avoid social interactions at all costs.
Mm,
so yes. I guess this is the most like extreme version of introverts.
Yes.
So which one do you closely identify with, Anis?
After like listening to all the points, I think I'm more like the restrained introvert.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I am a bit slow, like move at slower pace.
Mm-hmm.
And I have anxiety as well. So I'm the type that likes to have plan first.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay if the plan is ruined or there's like another plan coming along during that plan that we had in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you have a plan first, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
But if it's impromptu, like a sudden plan,
mm-hmm.
that will make me so anxious about it.
Yeah, so spontaneous things freak you out.
Yes, spontaneous things.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. So Anis, you were only promoted to lead designer this year. So congratulations again on that.
Thank you.
So how are you coping with leadership as an introvert?
Wow, I think this is one of the toughest questions. It was tough at first because I have a hard time dealing with people. It's not something that I'm skilled for.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, public speaking is way far from me. So handling people it's my first time doing this, because I always think that I am more good at supporting people, because I always feel that introverts are good at supporting people instead of like leading, because how introverts are reserved, they tend to do more work than interacting.
Mm.
So how I adapt to this is I seek mentorship from my seniors and my managers that I know and I'm close to,
mm-hmm.
or from someone experienced, maybe outside of the working world,
mm.
to seek for advice. And with that, I learn to adapt with the situation that I'm in and
yeah.
to understand the job that I have to do, the work mm-hmm. that I have to like segregate. How should I talk to my like subordinates?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But it takes time because you need courage to actually talk to people
mm-hmm.
about it because you don't know people's personality.
Yeah.
So it will take some time to understand people's personality first before mm-hmm. you make a move on your own so that you are not shocked with the situation
mm-hmm.
and you understand how to overcome it
right.
in the future.
Yeah. So what would you say is the toughest part of being in a leadership position so far?
I realized that, I don't know if this is an introvert thing, but leadership have to understand how to segregate tasks mm-hmm. and to actually assist people, leading them to mm-hmm. become better at their work.
Mm.
So if I have a hard time to actually segregate those because I think if people can't do it, I will take it instead. So it won't trouble anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I always absorb that instead right. of like express it.
Yeah.
So that is the toughest part. Mm-hmm. And also, I think also to communicate
mm.
because I tend to think a lot and like arrange my words
yeah.
Too much that I feel like we thought it's casual, but it's not. It right, will become right. a formal thing.
Yeah.
So people will get scared of me.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I am scared to talk to them. So I did hurt them with the formal kind of speech.
Yeah.
Mm, like that.
Right. But it's something that is quite common for introverts, right? Like we get judged as being rude or just being bad at communication when it's not necessarily true that introverts are bad at communication. They just tend to get drained very fast when it comes to social interaction.
Yes.
Yes. And there's also the idea that introverts can't be in leadership positions or can't take on managerial roles because of them lacking in communication skills. But that's not always the case, is it? Because I personally know several people who are introverts who are in managerial positions. One of my best friends mentioned that one of her managers is actually super quiet. Even though he is the manager of a team, he rarely actually talks to people or mingles around. But when he does, he's actually a really super nice person.
Mm-hmm.
And he really does a great job at work. And when it comes to delegating tasks and things like that, while he does provide a lot of space for people to work without micromanaging them, as long as they get the task done, he gives them a free rein. That doesn't actually make him a bad manager. It just makes him have a different managerial style than others, yes. than what we're used to. Especially when you consider like so many jobs now require people to have good communication skills. That's like the first requirement written in all job descriptions. It's like,
yes.
must have good communication skills. But is it really required for every job, do you think?
On my perspective, this is quite tough too because the requirement nowadays, but actually it is always best to learn on board mm-hmm. instead of just put the requirement there because the students nowadays, especially the graduates, they don't adapt with the working culture unless mm-hmm. they go to work mm-hmm. itself and experience it themselves.
Right.
Like, that's how I felt in my first job as well.
Yeah.
I have a very hard time to actually present in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the job requires a lot of communication skills.
Right.
It's an insurance agency, so you need to present and to talk to, you know, your boss because mm-hmm. your boss is an agent.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you only learn it on board
mm-hmm.
and when you have the experience, you understand your work, that's how you gain the knowledge and understand how to present it to people.
Right.
That's where the confidence comes.
Yeah. Also, there is a difference between someone someone who might seem talkative isn't necessarily an effective communicator, right?
Yes,
there are always like people who talk a lot, but there's nothing solid in their conversations. It's just like empty conversations. But presenting or being an effective communicator of any sort takes skill of its own.
Yes.
And there's no guarantee that introverts don't have that skill or they can't learn that skill.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
So how did you personally like overcome or learn to be better at presentations?
It surprised me, I think, last year because I never really good at communicating, especially presenting. But I think around lately, I learned a lot about what I like, the work that I do, and I put myself to understand the job description,
mm-hmm.
the requirements, and then I collect all the information. And when you need to present to people, you present facts.
Mm.
Because if you come empty-handed, that's where you get stuck and
right.
you get scared.
Yeah.
But if you like the things that you do and you understand it well, that's where your confidence comes.
Mm.
I think that's how all the introverts actually overcome with
mm-hmm.
what they do. Because I remember, you mentioned about your friend just now,
mm-hmm.
that she have an introverted boss and very
mm-hmm.
quiet. Because we have Apple CEO,
right.
the Microsoft
yeah.
CEO, as well as Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook.
Right.
They are all introverts.
Right, exactly.
But because they like what they do and they understand what they are providing to
mm-hmm.
the society, to the users, so they understand what they have to explain. So they are confident in
mm.
explaining what they do.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's going to say Steve Jobs was a bad presenter,
yes,
right?
Because yes.
he's known for his presentation skills. So is there someone who you personally admire, who you found out at some point is introverted or has social anxiety, or just someone who struggles with being or having more extroverted characteristics?
I do like this one singer. The one I like is a legend, like a very old school K-pop singer, which is from Girls' Generation. Taeyeon, the leader.
Yeah.
She's a leader of the group.
Mm-hmm.
But she is very introvert. And she has a social anxiety too. But what I like about her and I admire most because she overcomes that with the songs that she created with her producers. And then I think all of her songs are mostly motivational songs.
Mm.
Like, it's all about how you grow.
Right.
Like, how you overcome yourself, any like mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that about her. And with her social anxiety, she is awkward with the interviews and also how to communicate with fans.
Mm-hmm.
But she told herself that singing is her passion. So she
yeah.
speaks through her songs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the best part about it.
Right.
So I like to do something like that too,
mm-hmm.
because I cannot communicate with people. But I hope what I do in my working life actually communicate with people.
Yeah.
The things that I do instead
right.
of really communicate with people.
Mm. And that also reminds me of something that I read while I was doing my research, is that people assume introverts don't talk much or are awkward and they don't know what to say because they don't have anything to say. Like, they just don't like conversation. But
mm-hmm.
that's not always the case. As you said, a lot of celebrities or, you know, actors, singers, people who have like really deep messages in their content, in their delivery, in their presentations, in their interviews, they have a lot to say. They just struggle with maybe how to say it.
Yes.
But when they actually do it through things they love, like through acting or through their songs, people actually understand it and accept that message, it really is something that's like can be eye-opening. So it's not that introverts don't have anything to say.
Yeah.
They just need to find the medium to help them say it
yes.
in a good way.
Correct.
Yeah, so there's actually a difference between social anxiety and introvertedness as well. But basically what separates introverts from people with social anxiety is that introvertedness or extrovertedness is basically how people recharge their energies.
Mm.
So introverts, they get their energy through me time, through alone time. So even though they might be okay with social interactions. They don't actually fear it. After a certain point of time, they have to step away from crowds and just go to their comfort space or, you know, a quiet space where they can do their own thing and just recharge their mind without speaking to anyone or interacting with anyone. Meanwhile, extroverts, they recharge through interacting with other people. So maybe perhaps after a long day of work, they have to go out and meet their friends and family members and, you know, have dinner together and chit-chat with them, things like that. They can't immediately go back home. But on the other hand, like introverts, they are looking forward to going home and having, you know, personal time in their own comfort zone at home. Not everyone who is an introvert will have social anxiety, and not everyone who has anxiety is an introvert. Extroverts can have anxiety too. The line gets blurred sometimes because studies show that a lot of introverts tend to suffer from various mental illnesses, but it's not always tied together. And there are also different types of anxiety, like there's panic disorders, there's situational anxiety disorders, social anxiety, high functioning anxiety, things like that. So a little bit about social anxiety, right? Social anxiety is a disorder in which you have an irrational fear of social interactions. So symptoms of social anxiety include excess fear of being judged. And I don't just mean mild fear. The key word here is irrational, excessive, and also intense worry about embarrassment or humiliation or concern about offending another person. I've seen interviews of celebrities where they say they do well during interviews at press junkets or even if they go to parties or award shows. And they do well. They speak confidently. They do everything perfectly. Everything goes well on paper. But the moment they step off stage or the night of when they're going to bed or the next morning even, they start thinking back to that interaction and they start overanalyzing. And they think about everything that they may have messed up, things they could have done better. You know, they overanalyze every single detail and they sort of decide in their own head that it was terrible, everything went wrong, or like everyone judged me, you know. So that is what anxiety is. And there's actually this really good video. It's actually a TED Talk by Jordan Raskopoulos. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. So the video is titled How I Live with High Functioning Anxiety. And it's something that everyone definitely has to check out to understand how high functioning anxiety works. And, you know, some of the things that she mentions in the video, which Anis, you've already watched too, right? So she shares about how she manages to speak so confidently in public while having a severe fear of talking on the phone, which is something that I can personally relate to as well. I'm someone who, I used to have a job where I had to call people up to set interview appointments, right? And I would ask for all the details from my supervisor, and I would also like write down all the points on paper before I even made the phone call, even though it's like I'm the one who's offering these people a job interview, which they might be nervous to accept as well, but I'm more nervous to speak to them. And it's still something that I struggle with. Like, I have to write down what I'm going to say, even to someone from customer service who I'm calling up to complain about something, because I'm overthinking how this person on the other end is going to be judging me, you know, how things could go wrong. So, and it's amazing to think that someone who's as confident as her, the way she speaks in the video, is just, she radiates confidence. But then you find out that she actually is someone who's really nervous to even give eye contact to people when you meet her off stage. She also like continues to share tips on how she copes, getting therapy, having several deep focus hobbies, and also having allies. So the hobbies thing was also something that I related to, because I also find that I cannot be idle. If I have too much time to myself, just thinking in my own head, I start over-analyzing everything and I start thinking of I should be doing this next and I should be not wasting time, and I tend to stress myself out and it just causes me to, you know, procrastinate on things I'm supposed to do. You know, even when I'm having my lunch, I have to put on a movie or something just so I can distract myself and I don't spend time overthinking. She shares some of the strengths that she has as someone with high-functioning anxiety, because she's already constantly in high-stress situations. She's good at being on stage and at public speaking. She's a good improviser and quick-witted. And she's also really good at taking charge in a moment of crisis. again, this is also something that I personally can relate to. There have been many situations in my life where people close to me have referred to me as a plan B person, because I found that there have been several moments in my life where we would have a plan for an event or something, and something would go wrong and everyone would just freak out and not know what to do next. But in those situations, I would be the one to step forward and say, okay, let's come up with plan B. Let's do this. Let's work with what we have and, you know, overcome that obstacle together. I found that this is a strength that I also seem to have and I can relate to with Jordan. So what about you, Anis? Were there any points that you could relate to or any other strengths that you have as an introvert?
I am amazed with how Jordan shares about this, the high functioning anxiety, because I'm not a person like this. But I think if we share this in one team, like as a co-worker, it will be like a great teamwork.
Yeah.
Because you need like a different types of people in one team. Mm-hmm. But I'm more like, I'm not a good improviser and I'm not good at public speaking.
Mm.
But taking charge is okay for me, but not in crisis.
Mm.
So I'm more like a planning person. But I learned that if it's a planning that I have to improvise, I could do it, but not like impromptu kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but I think what I could highlight here is that I have an anxiety, but it's not seen. Like, people may seem that I look calm, but I'm not actually. So that I think I'm more like controlling the emotions and the situation instead of like taking charge of the plan and like improvising the plan, but I'm more like help the situation to like cool down. I think I'm more like that. Maybe quick-witted a bit, but not so much. But I'm very amazed with the high-functioning anxiety people, and I think it's really good to work with this kind of people.
Right. And we just want to clarify that even though we're finding similarities with Jordan, we're not saying we have a high-functioning anxiety. That's not something we can diagnose for ourselves. And we also recommend, if you're listening to this episode, don't diagnose yourself. Don't say like you have similar, you know, symptoms or characteristics as us and diagnose yourself as having this. Only a mental health expert can diagnose what type of anxiety or mental illness, or even like, even if you don't have any of that, therapy can still benefit everyone and anyone who's struggling with communication or any other work struggles. Therapy can actually be something that's very beneficial to you. So always like consult mental health experts if you have to before you diagnose yourself and decide that, okay, I might have this problem or this is what's wrong with me.
Enjoying the episode so far? There was so much more we discussed that just could not be fit into one episode. But don't worry, you won't have to wait for the next episode for too long. Part 2 of this episode will be released next Wednesday. So don't forget to follow our podcast wherever you're listening. See you next week. Thank you for listening to another episode of Grad Malaysia's TMI podcast. Don't forget to check out our website, gradmalaysia.com, for more career guide articles and ebooks, as well as new job and internship openings. Follow us on social media too for even more career tips and fun content. That's GradMalaysia.